All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
Delightful little Tuesday morning.
Yes, it is, Bob. How we doing today?
We're doing all right.
We're doing okay?
Yeah.
We got a lot of energy today. Everybody's perked up, ready to go.
We got shooters.
We got shooters.
We got shooters.
Yeah. We've been asking for shooters all offseason. We got them.
Not the shooters I thought we'd get,
but we got shooters.
Wrong kind of shooter, but hey, shooters are shooters, right? You gotta take all your shots out there.
Yeah,
what
you
a
do.
Day, man. What Boy. An absolute day yesterday.
Just craziness.
I put the kid down for a nap. I'm cleaning some dishes up and, you know, walking around the kitchen, and I get a text from a buddy that just says, Ja? Question mark?
What?
Wait, what?
Did you respond, Ja feel?
Huh? Ja what?
Ja mean?
I immediately grab my phone and I'm like, Ja, why is he text? Oh, that's why he's texting me, Ja. Okay.
I would say in the last week, I have been on Twitter far more in the last
yes.
week than I have been maybe in the last 2 years.
Yeah, free agency and NBA trades will do that to you.
Well, largely I just have stayed off that app. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get back on. I need to be aware. I don't want to miss stuff. So I've been
right.
on. And, like, I have literally religiously been checking over and over and
yeah.
over. And
Who
I'm
is
even,
it?
I'm even hitting my – I time limited a couple years ago on my phone.
Right.
I'm hitting the time limit like, ignore, ignore,
no, ignore,
ignore.
You should probably get off this app. Hell no, I'm not getting off this app.
And the longest stretch in which I didn't check literally lined up with the window of the trade.
I'm going to take a little breather. Let me get
I was like,
can
you
take
know
an
what?
Hour off.
I don't need
too
to
much.
Check for like 45 minutes. It's not going to happen. You've been checking all day. It's fine.
Nothing's happening.
Put the phone down. Charge it. About 25 minutes later, I come back. Look down. There's 12 text messages. Oh, no. Open it. Yours. Ja?
Ja?
I was like, God, let's see what the...
my
Ja?
Lord. Ja? Ja?
What?
We got Ja Morant
it's
yesterday.
Crazy.
I mean, of all the out of left field moves that could take place, of all the things that could have happened, if you would have asked me, the Blazers are going to make a trade on Monday, like I felt like maybe something was going to happen during the show yesterday. I'm like, yeah, you know, I think something seems like there's a lot of smoke. Free agency is about to begin. Something is going to go down. Never in a million years, if you would have asked me in the last segment of the show yesterday, hey, you think they're going to trade for Ja Morant today? What? No. Why would they trade for Ja Morant?
I was thinking about that. Like, how cool would it be to have an ability to go back in time, nobody else knows it, and just give
that take.
Well, give the predictions. Like, right. let's say if I took you back 3 years from now.
Do the Back to the Future thing.
You can't bet, but all you can do
right.
is give the takes.
I think they're going to trade for Ja Morant.
I think Rory McIlroy is going to win 2 straight Masters.
He's going to go back-to-back, let alone not winning majors. He's going to go back-to-back at the Masters.
You know the team you need to be most scared of? Oklahoma City.
Right.
Hey, San Antonio, don't worry. The
They'll
Knicks,
be fine.
They're going to win the title soon.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
You know who you want to get to win a Super Bowl quarterback? Sam Darnold. That's who you want to go get.
Sam Darnold.
You know,
one.
But damned the Jet situation and
one.
Him getting almost benched in Minnesota at the end. He was so bad. You want to go get yourself a Sam Darnold to win a Super Bowl. We all know that. You know who's going to win the national championship? It's Indiana, dumbass.
Yeah. Which one would
of course
shock
it's
you the
Indiana.
Most? If I took you 3 or 4 years back.
Right. And you gave me all of these?
Here, let's lay this out.
It's Indiana for sure.
Let's go 4 years back.
Okay, 4 years back.
So what? 2022.
2022.
As everybody showed yesterday, the highlights on SportsCenter of Ja Morant's missed dunks in 2022 or something.
He was pretty good in 2022.
If 4 years ago I told you, hey, man, I would keep an eye on Sam Darnold if I was a team like Seattle. I think he could be a missing piece to win a Super Bowl.
Could be the guy they need.
If I said, hey, man, I think if Indiana goes and hires the right mid-major coach, I'm telling you, I think it's an underrated fan base who would dump a lot of resources in.
Right.
They can win the national championship before your Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, the guy who's only been at James Madison for 3 years and is in his mid-50s is definitely going to do it.
Or if I said, hey, man, I think we should get Ja Morant sometime soon. Like, I would love to have Ja Morant. I think that's going to happen down the road, like not that far away.
No.
Which take do you think would have pissed you off or shocked you the most of those three?
Pissed me off the most would have for sure been Indiana winning a national title before my team. Also would not have believed it the most. You could sell me the quarterback making a turn in his career. Okay, I could see that. John Morant in Portland, like, if you would have asked me 4 years ago about John Morant, my feeling is probably drastically different about John Morant, because I'm not sure if we're aware of this, but 4 years ago, he was an all-NBA caliber guy who was an all-star in getting all-NBA votes. Like, that was the thought of John Morant about 4 years ago. So you tell me we go get him, I'm pretty excited about that. That sounds great on paper. Hell yeah.
So let's go get John Morant. You're excited about that at the time,
dude,
with our situation?
4 years ago in 2022, he averaged 26 points per game, 8 assists, 5.9 rebounds, played 61
but
games.
But you have to remember where we were at the time as a team.
I mean,
team.
At that point, we were moving on.
I mean, even
on.
Now, I'm still wondering about it. We'll get to it today.
There's a lot of lingering questions about where this goes and how the entire roster comes together. That one would probably be the least surprising of me. I see your guard point and how it all fits together. I can't put it on the Indiana level. Sam Darnold winning a Super Bowl, and I can't even remember what the other one was. But
Sam Darnold, Indiana, John Morant.
Yeah, John Morant. I would go Indiana, Sam Darnold, John Morant in that order.
Sam Darnold might deserve to be the winner here, even though Indiana winning, to our point.
It's Indiana.
I never would have picked it.
Never would have thought. And I at least had seen a quarterback have the redemption arc in the NFL, going from one team to another, and like, oh, okay, look, he ended up being good in the right spot. I've at least seen that before. Wouldn't have predicted it, but I've at least seen it with my own eyes.
If you would have gone back and the Pac, let's say it's going into the last year of the Pac-12, that timeline?
Yes, but no, we're going to get a deal done. Don't
and
worry.
I told you to pick a Power 5 team that you never would pick to win the national championship. I'm not trying to exaggerate for the segment's sake.
Indiana probably is the pick.
Indiana, yeah. Well, no. Indiana might be my last pick.
Yeah. Like, go through the teams who would win a national championship in what order.
Hey, Gardner Minshew and Wazoo with Mike Leach was a thing that was kind of close. Like, they were at least sniffing around.
They were an Apple Cup win away from going to the Rose Bowl.
Jonathan Smith at Oregon State.
Yes.
Don't think he's actually going to do it, but hey, a couple wins away from maybe being the impossible.
Right.
I would have never to pick Indiana football to win the national championship.
I'd take Rutgers over Indiana. I would have taken Maryland over Indiana. Northwestern's at least had moments in their program history. Like, go down the list. I've seen Mississippi State be ranked number one in the college football playoff rankings before. That's happened. I've seen Nebraska. Like, you go down the list of all the schools. Indiana definitely would have been the last one. But to the point of the surprise yesterday, it created quite a day. It was damn entertaining. I can't remember the last time my phone blew up to that level for something Blazer-related, where people who don't even care about the Blazers nor root for the Blazers are texting me like, dude, what the hell's going on? I'm trying to make sense of it just like you, man. We're all trying to digest this news and see where it goes from here.
We'll start the morning off with a delightful. We got some poll questions. We put them up, but we'll start the day with one. Which of these three sports takes would have shocked you the most 3 years ago? Ja Morant is a Blazer, Sam Darnold Super Bowl winner, Indiana college football national championship. I still think Indiana wins this.
Yes.
Ja Morant might be the third one, but I also I don't want to play revisionist history. I just wouldn't have believed it 3 years ago.
No, I wouldn't have either, because to your point, four years ago, you still had Damian Lillard. That was still a part of it. Like, you still had this guard-heavy lineup. It is pretty funny to watch us go from, we have too many guards, we need to unpack all of our guards, to now we have too many guards again. That's been quite the fun storyline and timeline to follow through.
Do we have guards or...
We got shooters! Let's go!
That is true.
Do we have guards or shooters? You know what I mean?
John Morant did shoot 23% from three last year. We got shooters. Man. He was attempting them. They weren't going in, but he was shooting the ball.
It was kind of cool, though. At least we were like, we were the talk of the town, dude.
We were.
We were the number one headline in the NBA yesterday.
We were the bee's knees all day on social media yesterday.
At 10:02 a.m. after we signed off the air, if you said, Sprague, the league's going to be talking about our team in like 4 hours, I'd be like, dude, I cannot wait to hear about the Jaylen Brown stuff.
I can't. What did we give up? Was it clinging? Was it two? How many draft picks were involved? What does this look like?
Yeah, I don't know where I would have been if you were like, it's going to be Ja Morant, T-minus 4 hours. I'm like, what? What? All right. And the best thing about it, I think, today for us, because, you know, you can read about Ja Morant. We can dive into the fit. We can dive into the reporting. Is it the worst trade of all time? Are you buying the four guards can coexist together? We can get into all of it today.
Yeah, we once traded for Sean Kemp.
We traded Moses Malone.
We did, yeah, we did.
For a pick that we ended up bypassing for Larry Bird.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was a good trade right there.
We traded a pick. We could have drafted Chris Paul.
How about the one we're still scarred by? We traded away Jermaine O'Neal for Dale Davis.
Yeah.
That happened.
I would argue we didn't trade Scooter Shaden yesterday because of that trade.
We're still scarred by that? Man. 30 years ago, we're still scarred by the Jermaine O'Neal trade.
Oh, man, that it was just wild. Like, of all the reaction, too, because I turned on ESPN to see if they had anything live, right?
Nothing live at the time.
The World Cup stuff was so spectacular yesterday.
So good.
That's the best day of soccer I've ever watched in my life.
Agree.
From a start to finish point, I've never personally watched that many matches in a row of the World Cup.
Right. It just went from one to the another to the another. They were all awesome yesterday.
I kept it on. Like, I watched the beginning of Brazil and Japan here. I kept it on, so it was playing in my car on the way home. I just turned it on to have stuff on.
Right.
Like, from the first match to the last match, it was exceptional.
Dude, how close was my parlay to hitting two?
Pretty close.
Japanese had a lead late.
They damn near
Netherlands had the lead late, and Paraguay won.
I know.
Well, and they won in penalty, so that wouldn't have counted because I did regular time. But still, to the point, that was dead.
Yeah, you weren't far away.
I was flirting with it. That would have been a nice payday.
But of all the stuff, the Ja Morant trade happening, my brain breaking, people texting me, what do you think? And I'm like, I need to process. I was just like,
give me a minute here.
I can't. I'm not going to give off the cuff. I need to process what's going on. And I also was waiting to see if they had another trade because everybody had the same reaction. Oh, it's not the only move. Not the only move.
There's another move coming.
So, like, I was sitting with it. Not one single thing did I see help in any way of takes. I went and watched Grizzlies content, and it was like, Ja Morant, there, it's over. Yeah, we'll kind of dive into what it all means. And then they just told me nothing. It was like, it's an emotional day, but jaw's off, but we're going to root for him. And I'm like, okay, let's go to a national voice. Yeah, you know, it's kind of a crazy trade.
Everybody's trying to figure it out.
Hey, you know, this is going to be a setup for another move, I think. Well, I don't know, but I think. And then the local guys, the Blazers kind of like the four guards exist. There got to be another move. It was like there was no...
Nobody knows how to feel.
Nobody knew how to felt about that trade. And we'll get into it. That was fun to have.
The opinions were all over the map yesterday, and it did make for a really fun day of reaction. I still think nobody knows how to feel about the move, but there is part of me that is glad that we had a few, you know, an afternoon and an evening to let it slowly marinate, you know, in the take machine in your gut.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about it the next day? Because it's always hard in the real time, to your point, because you don't know what's next. And this was the challenging thing yesterday, was the move goes down. The first media thing that I saw was Shams doing, like, an impromptu hit on SportsCenter.
Reading his phone,
talking about the trade. Right. And in that moment of reading his phone and talking about the trade, he said, well, now the Blazers are set up to go get, you know, you can still go get Jaylen Brown. And then like 3 hours later, he did another stand up reading my phone hit on the ESPN and said, well, they're not in the mix for Jaylen Brown anymore. And now I'm confused and I don't know how to feel. Because at one point I'm like, all right, you know, I get it. And then 3 hours later, wait a minute, we're out on that now? Is that trade not happening?
Yeah.
Is he going somewhere else? So many remaining questions from
that. Well, I'd be curious to see how people feel today. The fan text line's 503-864-6326. You can chime in on the YouTube chat. Good morning, YouTube. It's nice to have everybody with us.
We did have our wedding guy whose daughter's getting married today, hoping it was a Jaylen Brown trade to announce.
Oh, no.
Text in last night for a morning, next morning text, say, I'm not sure I'm going to grab the DJ's mic at the wedding to announce the jaw trade.
Actually,
it'd be kind of funny if
they're listening.
Grab the mic and just yell, we got shooters.
Grab the mic, pull out your Glock, just do a desk pop.
Take your gun to the wedding, do a desk pop.
Pop, 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 pop.
Job a rat, baby.
We got shooters. Yeah. Let's go.
I really enjoyed a lot of people tweeting yesterday. I retweeted ones that I saw that I thought were funny. I thought you had a really good one. I also loved Gunny's get him an Oregonian sticker decal.
I was laughing out loud when I read that tweet because you know he's going to have one on his car.
I mean, yeah, probably. He's probably going to be on his Cybertruck somewhere.
You know what's going to happen. You got to get that guy an Oregonian sticker. Come on, man.
I think it's going to be a fun show. We're going to go to Memphis today. We'll talk with Gary Parrish. He's our good friend over in Memphis. He's been in Memphis forever.
Yeah.
Started in the college basketball game, and he's been a host for a very long time in Memphis. Is covering the whole landscape of stuff. And so if you can't get Chris Vernon, Gary Parrish, or like those are your top two guys out of Memphis I would want. Gary Parrish, a good friend of the program. He's going to join us today at 7:27. So we're going to dive a lot into this. If anything breaks, if they do anything else today, I don't have an expectation that they will, but
yeah.
I also didn't have an expectation or thought in my mind Ja Morant was going to be a Blazer today. So here we are.
And we're on the day now of free agency opening. What is it, 3 o'clock today or 2 o'clock? Or...
Well, I think it's – is it 12 o'clock our time?
12 o'clock
3
our
o'clock
time?
Eastern?
6 Eastern, 3 o'clock.
6 Eastern, okay. So 3 p.m. our time.
That's when free agency opens up.
So they have 11 players on the roster.
They got money to spend in free agency, so you might see some movement there.
Yeah,
today.
They're under the tax. They still have the full mid-level. Like, yeah, you know, we got reporting to get to today. Is it the worst trade in Blazer history? I certainly don't believe it's in the running, but
I think we've already settled that one in about 30 seconds this morning, but
some,
I digress.
Some people do.
Come on, Bill.
Bill not making a lot of friends on Twitter is what
no,
I would say today.
No, he is not.
But we'll dive into all of it. It's a fascinating move that can be complex and also have two different opinions being right.
Yes, because we don't know. The difficulty of all of these is that we don't know what the final picture looks like.
Yes.
And so there's a viewing of it through a vacuum, and then there's a viewing of it through the larger lens of how does this all come together, and are you actually going to start 5 guards at the same time? Because that's a possibility right now. And so there's obviously moves that still need to be made. It reminded me a lot, to be honest with you, of the Young Hansen pick. Like, we went into that draft pick last year, and what were all the names that we were throwing out? Carter Bryant might be available.
Cedric Coward
might be. Yeah. Like, we knew the names. We had read 8,000 mock drafts.
Yep.
We were all eagerly awaiting which of these guys are they going to try and get, and these are the category of players they're looking at. And then Adam Silver announces a Chinese center that I've never heard of before, and I'm like, wait, what? Who? Huh? That's your first round pick? And that was part of the reaction yesterday, because we were all waiting for the Shams bomb of Jaylen Brown has been traded to the Blazers for fill in the blank stuff, and we were all ready to react, and that was the big move. And then you get the Shams announcement, and it's just...
Well, it comes with a picture too. It's
wait,
a Photoshop picture of Ja in the red Blazer. I'm like, what?
And that immediately tells you that they're not planning on moving him, because if you're getting the jersey treatment in the Shams picture, that's telling you initially that he's going to be playing
here. Yeah, I thought that was interesting in and itself of, like, the minute it was announced, I was on our show page too, so I had our Twitter machine of the show page up on my laptop. I have my phone for my personal account. I saw a lot of our listeners responding to it in real time, and it was all like, where are we flipping him? And I'm
right,
like,
where's he going to go?
I don't, we can disagree or have differing opinions on a lot of stuff. The where we flipping him thing was interesting to me, because I had been following Ja Morant stuff for over a year. And just as somebody that had heard Ja Morant-based trade conversation, the Grizzlies, according to almost every team that was leaking stuff in the league, so call it 28 of the 30, right?
Right.
Excluding Portland, Memphis. All of them, if they were to take on Ja, were demanding draft capital with Ja Morant.
Yes.
Like, hey, you want us to take this dude in that contract? Give us picks, which is why he wasn't traded. Memphis didn't want to do that. So the whole, like, where are you flipping him? Memphis flipped him the best they could
they
because
the
nobody
deal.
Else in the league wanted him.
It's not a long line of teams that are lining up for Ja Morant right now.
I would argue we flipped our problems. We'll take your problem if you take our Jeremy Grant contract problem. I didn't have any thought that he was going to get flipped. When you see the graphic and then Shams doesn't have a 3-team trade, it's just Memphis-Portland.
Right, he's sticking around, man.
It was more like, who else are they going to trade if they're making another move?
Talk about going back 4 years ago and the surprising things you could have said. Imagine going back 4 years ago and saying Desmond Bane's going to get traded for 5 first-round picks and the Memphis Grizzlies are going to have to pay a team $1 million to take Ja Morant and no draft picks will be included in the trade.
They'll take on one of the worst contracts.
That might be the top over in, like, wait, what? You're talking about this All-NBA guys getting traded for no draft picks? What the hell happened there?
They took on one of the worst contracts in the league and paid out $1 million to move on from Ja Morant.
We'll just write you a check for $1 million. Tom Dundon's over there gobbling up that money like Scrooge McDuck.
Side note, I've always been fascinated, and nobody's ever asked because it's not really press conference worthy.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like when a team gives another team $1 million? Do they?
Yeah.
Does it get wire transferred to a certain account?
My guess would be that's the case.
It'd be really cool if at the Ja Morant presser we had Joe Cronin
with a giant
Ja Morant holding the jersey and then Dundon holding the $1 million check.
But I want like a big golf check.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the, like the Happy
comical.
Gilmore, like this thing's 5 feet wide, 2 feet tall, and they're holding it up together smiling. We got Ja Morant and we got $1 million.
$1 million.
Anybody want t-shirts next year? Because we can afford them now.
This is going to go to taxes. I want all of you to know.
I'll put this towards the Moda Center. No, no, you won't, Tom.
Thanks,
no,
Tom. I appreciate that.
Thank you for that, Tom. Thank you. Glad we got that $1 million.
Well, it's going to be a fun show today. We'll get to some World Cup stuff. Again, I thought the World Cup was effing awesome yesterday.
It was fantastic. It was one of the best days of soccer that I haven't watched a lot of full days of soccer. That was near the top of the list of the days that I've watched.
Well, I mean, I think you can get away with ignoring a lot of group stage stuff.
Yeah, now it's good. Now
knockout round
now we're into the juicy stuff.
And that was quite juicy yesterday. Yeah. So we'll dive into all of it today. We got two guests. John Isaacs at
8:45. Yep.
And then Gary Parrish at 7:27. So we'll get an update on the Moda Center funding and talk about Ja Morant. Again, you can chime in at 503-864-6326. It's going to be a fun show, loaded show. Dirt and Sprague, we get it going next. 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 6:28 on Portland Sports Leader. Good morning. Dirt and Sprague with you on 105.1 The Fan. Of all the stuff we talked about earlier, totally forgot that it's Tuesday, which means...
Mail sack.
A Sparta TRT mail sack. You can mail sack is at the final hour of the radio program. You just text in any questions you want to ask. We'll answer anything. It doesn't have to be sports. Can be sports. But 503-864-6326 is where you can put the mail sack questions. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague. Got some poll questions up, and you can also put them in to the YouTube chat. Go through. I put a poll question up late last night.
Yeah,
I was up perusing the internet.
Seeing all the takes on Ja Morant being in a Blazer uniform.
Well, now I'm living in an existential, don't want to miss the next move, if there's a next move.
Right.
Because right now, like, I have been super late to a lot, and it's just been bad timing. When Dame requested the trade, I chose to sleep in till almost noon one day and catch up with, like, 13 hours of sleep. The trade yesterday, I just happened to be the biggest window of me not having my phone in my hand. Anyways, catch up on all of it. I put the poll question up. Do you agree that the Blazers' four guards, Dame, Ja, Drew, and Scoot, can coexist? Yes or no? The reason I ask this is because our good friend Jason Quick had the reporting yesterday in a blurb through the free agency action and trades that the team, believe it or not if you want, the team believes the four can coexist. Do I believe that? No. Not in any way.
Not enough minutes to go around there, Bob.
Well, it's not even just it's just a problem. And what you're going to hear today is, you know, Drew's basically a three, but he's always been kind of a point. But that's what you're going to hear. That's
going to
be
big.
If they're not going to make another move, the spin's going to be Drew can guard the three. So like you're fine defensively.
He's our new Norman Powell. That was when we acquired Norman Powell. So he's basically a three. He can play up. He's a little bit bigger than the other two guards.
The other thing I encountered yesterday, because you know when this stuff happens, if you have friends in the media, and I'm lucky enough to say I do, I text with people. I am absolutely ready publicly to hear this wasn't Joe Cronin's trade. This was Tom Dundon's trade.
We're putting this one on Tom.
This is all Tom Dundon.
Yeah, Joe had nothing to do with it.
Joe had nothing to do with it. You really think Joe would make this trade? What evidence do you... I had somebody respond because I said, man, that's an interesting move by Joe. And they responded with, LOL, you think Joe made this trade? To which I said, okay, I'm not surprised to get into this because I feel like this has been building now. So is any good trade that happens for Portland or the trade universally that we believe is good going to be Joe's doing, and then any bad trade is Tom Dundon's doing?
That's exactly how this is going to go. If they pull off a good move today, that will be all Joe Cronin being stealth and making moves, cooking. Joe's cooking right now. But any bad move that people don't like, that's all on Tommy D.
Well, and then one person responded, you think Joe would do this? We don't have evidence that this is what he does. And I responded, he literally drafted a 6'3 point guard when he had a prime Damian Lillard point guard.
Yeah, and then said they can all coexist on the same roster.
So, like, I don't want to play revisionist history with you, but also there was a lot of buzz they might trade the pick.
They did not trade the pick.
A team like Portland's never going to trade that pick because they'll always value the asset.
Right.
But, yeah, I actually do have evidence that Joe makes that trade because Joe's literally made the decision to draft a young point guard while still having an in-his-prime Damian Lillard point guard.
Yeah, I mean, I think the organization's argument will be we bought low on a guy who, if he's able to connect the dots and put everything together, can turn back into the player that he was 4 years ago. And
sure.
So it's a buy-low projecting forward. Where do we have an example of Joe Cronin doing that? Literally last year in the draft.
Yeah.
They took a flyer on a guy who is not NBA ready and does not appear to be NBA ready going into his second year of his career. Is he ready for backup minutes? I don't know. That was the ultimate, let's take a flyer on a guy and see how this works out. Year one didn't go great. We still don't know how the whole thing's going to pan out. But the idea that he's never rolled the dice in that nature is just ludicrous. He literally did it last year in the draft. He's also, at one point, collected way too many guards and forced the hand of a star player to one out. So, like, none of this is new. I knew that was going to be the takeaway. If they had acquired Jaylen Brown yesterday, there wouldn't be a soul alive saying, well, this is Tom Dundon's trade. It would be all, this is Joe Cronin's trade. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to get the opposite of it if you don't like the move and if you don't agree with what they're doing right now.
So here's a quick question for you.
Yeah.
So what I acknowledged to a lot of people yesterday is, like, making a big name trade, absolutely part of the new owner syndrome that people like to bring up is that, right? It's, I'm here, I'm going to make the difference. Here we go. Here's the big swing. And we point to the bad stuff, but we don't linger on with, did the Rudy Gobert trade kind of work for Minnesota?
It's been pretty solid. They've been to two conference finals. I'll take back-to-back conference finals.
You can make an argument they gave up too many assets for it, but they got to back-to-back conference finals. They've never done that in their organization's history.
No, this is the golden years of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
We want to point to Phoenix, right? And then Phoenix was able to kind of pivot out. They still owed money to certain guys, but they were able to pivot out, and now they're trying to rebuild their situation up to Michigan State West. You can make these arguments that, yeah, Tom Dundon comes in and it's, let's make the big swinging move. We heard it in the press conference. There was a name. And we know the name. It was Anthony Davis. It was Giannis, right?
They were going big game hunting.
According to the reporting yesterday, they were all in on Jaylen Brown. They were efforting all weekend. They so far have not reached an agreement on that. We'll wait and see if that's what they end up doing. But what I find interesting from the media narrative, because yesterday I think also became shock and awe of Ja Morant as a Blazer.
Yes, while we're all waiting for a Jaylen Brown announcement.
While also media kind of taking the forefront with Bill Orem and what he was doing yesterday. You saw a lot of that reaction. And I just think it's going to be fascinating to hear how this was Tom Dundon's trade, not Joe Cronin's. And here's my only question. With all the assets they had lined up, the picks, the players, the contracts, after being the 7th seed and losing in 5 to the Spurs. If Tom Dundon was not here and the Vulcans still owned it, would you have gone into the summer with the expectation of they're going to make a move?
Right.
Yes?
Yeah.
Because I would have.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying Tom Dundon didn't help push this over the top. I'm not. I'm just asking, like, when a trade that is questionable or bad, if we're going to lay the blame at the new owner and call it the new owner syndrome, what do you do on the good trades? Is that also new owner syndrome, or is that Joe Cronin's a genius? He's got the third eye. I already went into the summer with or without Tom Dundon saying, you made the stride, you're the 7th seed, Denny Avdia, strike while the iron's hot.
Dame's back, you got assets.
You got assets, make the move. Tom Dundon just happened to buy the Blazers and it all lined up the same summer. This was supposed to be the summer anyway that you made a move. And so I don't know for certain that Tom Dundon sat in a room and wrote, Anthony Davis, Giannis, Jaylen Brown, Ja Morant. Joe, make one of the four happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he didn't approve it. He obviously did. But I do love how it feels like locally the media is going to give no blame at Joe Cronin, and it's all Tom Dundon. Dundon made that trade yesterday.
The funny part about all this for me is that what if Ja Morant ends up having a really good year?
Exactly.
Then whose credit goes to?
Is it
still Tom's trade, or then is it Joe's trade?
And this
right?
is what I said to the person was, my entire point isn't to go scorched earth on Joe Cronin. I don't understand the move as it sits today with the roster. But if they go make another move and it works out, I'm fair. I say good move.
Yeah.
Denny Avdia. I was like, okay, you're giving up decent chunk for Denny Avdia. Denny Avdia's been awesome.
It's
good move. Good trade.
Right.
Right? Jan Hansen is a pick. Sounds like he's not going to be ready for real minutes in year two.
That's a concern.
That's a problem. Not a great pick right now. Like, it's okay to say what's good and bad with some of this stuff, and just instead of any blanket bad, Tom Dundon, cheap new guy who wants asset. If it works out, I will give Joe Cronin credit. And I'm not saying it won't work out. I'm just simply saying I think the media narrative locally is going to be, this is Tom Dundon, Tom Dundon, Tom Dundon. To which I'm just like, do we have a general manager who can make a decision on his own, or is Tom Dunn to make all the moves?
We're very fractured right now as a fan base. It's a very weird spot, and the arena deal is not helping. The perceptions of the owner and what he's done, there seems to be a bit of a ripple effect amongst our fan base right now. This is the one thing that I chuckle about whenever I hear this conversation brought up. When you say the new owner syndrome and the idea of somebody coming in and wanting to shake things up and be aggressive,
right? It happens in that league.
It happens a lot in the league. I don't view this in any way, shape, or form that way, because you got rid of two things that nobody wanted.
Well, they were actively shopping Jeremy last year and the year before.
I have laid awake in my bed for 18 months praying at the ceiling that Jeremy Grant no longer is a Blazer.
It's a weird prayer.
Every night before I go to bed, thank you, Jesus.
How does that sound, by the way?
Thank you, Jesus. I want to wake up tomorrow, keep my family healthy, and please, for the love of God, trade Jeremy Grant. I don't want to watch him in a Blazer uniform anymore. I don't care that he likes food and he dresses funny and he fits into our culture.
Wouldn't it be for the love of you instead of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. Let everybody worship the way they want to worship, okay? Don't be a gatekeeper for worshiping. I've laid awake, like, please get this guy off my team. If I had to hear Chris Murray make shots in practice one more time, I was going to Yamo drive my truck off of a bridge. I was so tired of hearing that.
Yeah.
So this, when I think of these new owners, it's, all right, let's trade 5 first-round picks for, here's everything for Kevin Durant.
Maybe they do that for Jaylen Brown.
And maybe they still do that for Jaylen Brown, and that's fine, and I would have personally no issue with it.
I don't think anybody would.
That's an aggressive move.
Yeah.
You got rid of two things that nobody wanted and had no value on the open market,
yeah,
and you took a flyer on Ja Morant. I don't view those two the same way. You have done nothing to hamstring your future. You've done nothing to limit your ability to go get another player, go make more moves.
You're
still have desirable salaries. Yep. You're still under the tax. You still have all of your draft picks. We got to be more fair in the way we review this stuff. You absolutely are taking a risk. None of us have any idea how Ja Morant's going to work out. Mm-hmm. He might come pistol whip a 16-year-old at a high school locally and get suspended for the year. We have no idea how this is going to play out.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't happen. But to this notion of, like, this is a new owner syndrome, getting overly aggressive and taking too big of a risk for what? Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray? What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Those are not the same thing.
And he ended up getting Mike Anori's salary in exchange from the Grizzlies. He got $1 million.
Dude, trading 7 first-round picks for fill-in-the-blank. Yeah, trading 5 first-round picks for Trey Murphy for me would have felt like, ooh.
Well, that, you know, we have talked with Danny about that off the air. He's like, a few months ago, given. It's like 4 picks for Murphy. And I'm like, 4 picks for Trey Murphy?
For Trey? He's a good player, but 4?
And, like, you know, that's changed since we talked about that. But, like, in that moment, I was like, to me, that's not good.
Right.
And we'll get into the Josh
stuff. That's too big of a roll of the dice of we're using up too many assets to go get a player that I don't know if he's going to make that big of an impact.
I would like to talk. I mean, we can dive into it. We got Gary Parrish from Memphis live today at 7:27. So he's going to join us in the second segment of the second hour. We'll obviously dive fully into the trade coming up at 7. But just aspects around this that I want to dive into some more. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan. Well, I didn't anticipate diving, I think, as fully into the Ja Morant to Portland trade as we have so far.
It's hard not to on a day like today.
It is.
Everybody's salivating for Ja Morant takes. Give them to me, baby.
Injected into our veins.
YouTube chat is on fire this morning.
It's great. I've been following. It's fantastic.
Everybody's yelling at everybody.
Side note, can I just tell you something real quick, and we'll dive back into the Blazer stuff?
What do you got?
When I was able to kind of separate from Ja Morant and just focus squarely on the soccer.
Put the phone down, watch what's happening on TV.
Those couple matches with the penalty kicks.
Incredible, dude.
They made me feel, I was thinking about this. I've had some really fun sports stuff that I've enjoyed this past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anything made me feel exactly how I felt when Rory won his first Masters, as watching the drama and emotion and heartbreak and excitement and joy as what the penalty kick does on the World Cup knockout stage.
Look, this might be a dumb question. I don't watch a lot of soccer.
Yeah.
Do they usually miss that many PKs? Is that like a normal thing? What's the hit rate of a PK?
I don't know what the percentage would
break down
to.
If you looked at, how I guess you don't get them that often in regular season
you
games
because
you just draw and the game is over.
Very rarely. I think I watched Nottingham Forest be in, 2 PK situations, and it was largely because They were playing in another tournament.
Like, I just am yelling at my TV of, like, how are this many people missing the net or hitting a post?
Well, to their point on the broadcasters, it's 12 yards away.
It is 12 yards away.
And you can practice and you can be precise.
It's the pressure of the moment. I get it.
You cannot duplicate that pressure, dude. You're entire. My daughter said this, and I thought it was a really good point. It'd be cool to watch America go further than they've ever gone this year. I that would make me happy.
Taking on the Bosnians tomorrow. Bring it on.
I'm trying to be as dead-ass honest with you as I can. I will not come remotely close to crying the way that some of the... Like, did you see the Paraguay fans?
Yes, dude. They were...
The Morocco fans?
Yeah, it was insanity.
They were emotional. And my daughter's like, man, this means a lot to people. And I go, yeah, it's the World Cup.
Yes, it's everything for them.
But it's I wouldn't come close to feeling like that. I'd be happy if America did it, but I wouldn't be like...
Like, yeah, I'm
these
not
people,
cry.
It's everything for them.
Yes,
and that's what I loved about it is watching the raw emotion. The guy from Morocco when they had the miss, and he's screaming, "What the f!" And I'm just like, "Oh, I hope they win for that miss shot sake, man. Dude, I just hope they do it."
One guy looked like he changed his mind mid kick. He was like
he stumbled up,
and then he kind of stopped, and then the keeper dove one way, and he tried to kick it the other way last second and change it up, and he missed the goal entirely.
I think it's an underrated
thing
that a goalie can like fake go one way. It throws the kicker, and they have to rethink in a split second.
Yeah, there was one.
I'm going left. I'm going right. It's like, oh, you missed.
The Morocco keeper had one where he was just standing up the entire time, like shuffling back and forth, never even dove and just gave it a Mutombo swat when it was attempted. Just put the arm up.
So good.
Boom, right into the hand. He knocked it down. It was, it reminded me of why, to be honest with you, every soccer game should end that way. Like, I just think we.
Oh, really? Because a lot of soccer people don't. I don't want to say a lot.
Look, it's the same as hockey. Hockey and soccer are very similar. Ending a game in a shootout in hockey is not a normal way to end a game, but you have a winner of the game. You can't keep playing forever. Like, the Morocco game is a great example of this last night. That was one team trying to do something and the other team just milking the clock trying to get to penalties. The Netherlands were doing nothing. They didn't possess, of both extra time periods, I don't even know if they touched the ball the entire time. It was just Morocco passing it around, slowly moving up the field.
Yeah.
Passing it around, slowly moving up the field.
Well, because you saw the Netherlands, how quick they can be, right?
Yeah,
they get
the
ball down the field and they're off.
You can turn it around quickly and go the other direction. Yeah. But they were playing for that. And I'm so glad that they lost. The Netherlands fans were great. Their chants were great.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking over cities. That's not... Dude, that is a low morale way to try and advance in the World Cup. You're just trying to get to penalty. You're not even trying to win it. So I was glad that Morocco won because of that. That they were attempting to do it and they pulled it off in penalties.
The missed penalty kick by the German guy when it went over the goal.
Oh my God.
The broadcast.
Oh my God.
Is it on there? The missed one? The one that went over the net? Okay, I'm gonna play it real quick. We'll get back into the John Morant thing here in just a second.
Stand job almost, and it's back to Paraguay. But he scores! Paraguay! They've done it! Paraguay have won it! And they booted Germany out of the World Cup!
Trying to find the name of the guy because I text Patrick and I'm like, dude, this guy on the broadcast is and I've heard his name before, but I'm blanking on it right now.
He was solid. He was
dude.
Really
he
good.
Was fantastic. Yeah. He was awesome on that call.
Ian Crocker.
I'm gonna have Brandon pull the over. Way over.
Way over.
So we have a drop for spraying line if we want to go over unders.
Good pull right there. I like that idea.
That was one of the worst misses I've ever seen. And then my daughter's watching this because I'm like, you gotta see this. This is crazy drama. Yeah. I think it was the Netherlands and he hooked the shot, but right before he kicks, I go, there's more pressure on the kicker. She goes, what? There should be more pressure on the goalie. I go, nah. A lot of people expect the goalie to just dive and miss.
Yeah, you're kind of guessing. You dive in one direction, see if you can make a stop.
They think the kicker has the advantage. She goes, that's ridiculous. He literally hooks the shot way left. And she goes, oh, my God, how did he do that? And I was like, pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure.
Dude, you think about that German player and what, like, how long does that take you to come?
You never get over
you
that.
Never
that
do,
was
do
one
you?
Of the worst penalty kicks I've ever seen in my life.
Your team goes on to lose. Like that's the
it was
one,
a field goal kick.
That's the moment you will remember forever from that game. Like you're never going to live that down. The best tweet, though, yesterday, look, there were a lot of great John Morant takes. As a guy who loves dad jokes and is a bit of a history buff, this tweet was just – music to my ears, and it said, Japan started very well with rapid aggression but simply couldn't survive the onslaught of a superior foe in two deadly strikes. Germany dominated but couldn't break through a stubborn, numerically superior defense, and Italy didn't even show up. That is perfect. That's
right in your wheelhouse.
It's a tough day for the Axis powers yesterday. Yep. Japan and Germany had a bit of a rough go in the old World Cup. I apologize.
We're going to dive fully into the Ja Morant trade and what the Blazers traded to get Ja Morant. If you're just waking up this morning, hello. Happy 6 a.m. hour to Dirt and Sprague.
Hello.
It's great to have you guys in.
What do we get tonight, though, by the way? You get Mexico hosting a knockout round game
in Mexico City.
And their fans, I'm not kidding you, it looked like there were 1,000 of them surrounding the Ecuador hotel all night singing songs so that they couldn't sleep and playing, you know, with like horns and music. And they were just, they did everything they could to make as much noise. That atmosphere is going to be insane.
Ivory Coast, Norway, France, Sweden, and then Mexico, Ecuador is your last match of the night. Yeah, the Ja Morant thing, you know, we'll get into it here at the top of the hour. So many takes came in, such a shocking move, being the talk of the league yesterday, and still waking up the next day trying to make sense of where are we going, what is the roster.
That's the hard part, you're just not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, unless there's another trade.
We don't know what the next, they're going to do something else. Like, at the bare minimum, you have a full mid-level.
What if they get Rob Williams on the mid-level?
Right. And then, I mean, they're still
What if that's it, though?
I think there will still be more because you still have your, what is it, the biannual? I mean, I don't know what the phrasing of all these is, but there's another sort of level that you could use. I can't remember. It's a little bit lower than the mid-level. So you only have, what, 11 guys on the payroll right now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got more roster spots you got to fill out. They're not done making moves yet. That's the biggest difficulty right now is that you're trying to be level-headed and have takes, but we don't know what the final picture is going to look like.
Shaden Scoot, Young Hansen, Chris Murray. Good luck in Dallas, Mike Schmitz. Great picks. Just fantastic, stellar stuff.
The guy's a guru, though.
He's a guru. Nobody else can do what he did.
How are we going to survive without him?
Loaded second hour. Ja Morant traded to your Portland Trailblazers. Let's dive in. You can chime in 503-864-6326. Hour two on Portland Sports Leader starts there on The Fan.